Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri, and I am so excited to be studying with you the book of Revelation. And today, we're going to go right into where we were. If you were not with us before and you have the ability to do so, you can go online to billybrim.org, billybrim.org, and there you can find our radio archives. And in the radio archives, we began in June on the book of Revelation. We are now through chapters 4 and 5. And in chapters 4 and 5, they were in heaven, and they were the future things. Now, in order to study the book of Revelation, we have to pay particular attention to this admonition from the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, how I've been enjoying studying. And as I've studied, I don't know if you've learned anything, but I surely have. We have to study this book to get the most out of it, and we have to rightly divide it. The Bible says here that we must rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible is the word of truth, but it must be rightly divided. If it can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided, and that's where all error in teaching the scriptures comes from. In fact, that's where all error in teaching the book of Revelation comes from. So we have to rightly divide this book. Some of the scenes are in heaven. Some of the scenes are on earth. Some of the scenes are from the past. Revelation 1:19 gives us a real key that John is going to write of things past, things present, and things to come, the future. The book of Revelation has to do with three groups of peoples, just like all the Bible does: the Jews, the nations, and the church. It is written in 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, or better said, nations, nor to the church of God. Three groups of people that are included in this book, as in all the book. We will see certain scriptures that have to do with the church, certain scriptures that have to do with the nations, and definitely certain scriptures and many scriptures that have to do with the Jews. Israel is God's portion among the nations. Deuteronomy 32:8-9 say, when the Most High gave to the nations, that's the nations, the Gentiles, their inheritance, when he separated the children of men, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For Jehovah's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. The Bible often calls the Jews Jacob. It means the flesh Jews. He didn't call them Abraham. Abraham had another son. He didn't call sons, in fact. He didn't call them Isaac. He had another son. He called them Jacob because all Jacob's 12 sons became the tribes and nation of Israel. So we're going to find that a large part of the book of Revelation has to do with God's final dealings in this age of his people, the Jews. And of course, we know the church, the ecclesia. I like that word. It's the Greek word that's always translated church. But however, it's not really the correct. There is another word that could be translated church, but this word ecclesia, which is always translated church, it means an assembly. And the assemblies of God saw this when they chose their name. It means an assembly. And you can particularly see various people, various tribes and tongues. And in Acts chapter 15, verse 14, we see that the church and James, in fact, at Jerusalem, was speaking to the church council, you might say. And he said, Simeon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And that's who we are. He visited the nations, and he has taken out of them a people for his name. Out of every tribe, out of every tongue, out of every kindred, he has called, and people have answered his call, and they have come in to be the body of Christ, the ecclesia. And so we're going to find the ecclesia. And we have been looking at the ecclesia. We saw, and we've already gone through where Jesus gave messages, gave this whole message, whole book of Revelation, and he had it written down and sent out to seven churches that were then in existence. We learned a lot from that. You can go back to the archives. And now, in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 9, it says, "And now they sing a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it, for you were slain, and with your blood,'" now here's the part I want you to get right now, "'you purchased men unto God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth.'" King James says, translates that "on the earth," but it's the Greek word epi, epi, and it always means over, the action coming from above downward. You can see that in Companion Bible, Appendix 104. Yes, we are that people that he has purchased with his blood out of every tribe and language and people and nation, and we have been assembled and we have been made a royal kingdom of priests to our God, and we are the body of Christ. We saw the body of Christ addressed in the seven churches, and then we saw the body of Christ, chapter 4, and we've already gone through this. This is just a review. Revelation chapter 1, excuse me, chapter 4, verse 1. "After these things, I looked, and behold, a door opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as a trumpet talking with me, saying, 'Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be after these things.'" So the scene changes in chapter 4 and chapters 5, and we've already gone over these chapters, and we've already seen that they take place in heaven. There we saw the wonderful throne of God, the Spirit of God before it. We saw the elders, the 24 elders. We saw the living creatures, the four living creatures. And we saw the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he appeared there as a lamb, not as an animal, but as a sacrificial, blood-giving lamb. And we saw that there was a book, actually a scroll, chapter 5, verse 1. "I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a scroll written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." We're going to see that seven is the great number of the book of Revelation. And so as we read through chapter 5, and we saw in chapters 4 and 5, the church in heaven, the people that were called out a royal priesthood. Now all this, we're going to move now on into the time period of what we call the tribulation. It's going to be the time of God's wrath. We're going to go over this again so you can see more clearly how it calls that in the book of Revelation. But one thing you need to understand right now before we go any further is that the church is in heaven and that we are not here on the earth. There has been a rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We are not here on the earth. We have gone to meet him in the air, and in Revelation 4 and 5, we are there in heaven. Now, we're going to come to the time of God's wrath, however, and that's going to be a seven-year period. We want to know that it doesn't apply. We're not down here on the earth where the wrath and the judgment is being poured out. And we see concerning, you know, all the Bible's for the church. And all the Bible is even to the church. But not all the Bible's about the church. And so when we enter into the tribulation period, we want to know where the church is. The church is in heaven, and we're not here for the time of wrath. We'll be referring to these scriptures many times, but we want to read them once again here. And most of the people who think that the church is going to go through the tribulation here on earth fail to see that it has to do with God's people, the Jews. And they try to put the church in that place. But it says concerning the time of the wrath of God, Romans 5, 8 and 9, "God commended his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. We are right now justified by his blood, right now. And in the future, we shall be saved from the wrath that's coming. That's Romans 5, 8, and 9. Here's 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and 10. You turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. God appointed us not unto wrath, but unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to understand that we are not here during that 7-year period. We must not, this is a note from the Numerical Bible, we must not merge Israel and the church. We're going to come up now on the 7 years of the tribulation. Israel, the remnant of Israel, those who are alive at that time in their earthly bodies here on earth, and the church, the body of Christ in heaven. We must not merge Israel and the church or forget the purposes of God is to the earth in higher and heavenly ones. We're going to see him dealing with earth and cleansing earth. And then we're all going to also going to see about heaven. And so we must understand this. God challenges every thought of Israel's undoing. In Jeremiah 31 and 35 and 36, he tells us as long as there's stars and sun and moon in the skies, there will be heaven. There will be Israel, a nation of Israel upon the earth. In Isaiah chapter 66 and 22, he speaks of the new heaven and the new earth, and he places Israel right in the middle of it. Thus, an interpretation of the book of Revelation, which practically, if not theoretically, leaves Israel out, cannot have the needed largeness, cannot have and give us the mind of God. We're going to see as we move now into these 7 years of the time that we call the tribulation, we're going to see what's happening on the earth. Now, we're going to go tomorrow. We're going to study more about what the Bible says about tribulation, and we're going to look at the cycles of time. Time itself is a very wonderful thing that God created. God invented time. He invented it precisely. He invented it mathematically. He measured out a portion of eternity and called it time. Whatever length he needs to settle all the problems that happened with the fall of Adam is in a period called time. God himself is not in any way a creature of time, but he is only dealing with time as he deals with mankind. And so we want you to be sure to be back with us tomorrow, and we're going to begin into a study of time, and especially that time that is called the tribulation period. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness coming to you today from Branson. You can contact us at 1-800-972-3447, or we invite you to go on to billybrim.org, where you can join us from the beginning of our study of the book of Revelation. You just look on the archives, there it'll have my name, it'll say book of Revelation, and it'll say which chapters. Shalom, see you tomorrow. Shalom.